produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Know it, come on. Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Of Jesus. Jesus. Say.
Lay down.
To me.
To me. Come on, Bishop.
And
version reads like this. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. We'll keep going. Verse 12 and 13. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Just for a little while, I want to talk about yes and no. That's what I want to talk about. Yes and no. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, yes and no. Amen. We look at this passage that is found in this particular book of 1 Samuel. And Samuel begins with, it is known as one of the history books of the Bible. It is the history, the stories of the history that begins with Samuel, who is not even born, and goes all the way to the end of Saul's reign as king. But to even understand the history of the Hebrew people, you must understand the story of Samuel. That we understand that in this particular book, and beginning at the beginning, that Samuel's origins are of interesting note to us. Because Samuel comes from an interesting situation. That his mother, Hannah, is married to a man by the name of Elkanah, who is a Levite. But Elkanah has not one wife, but he's got two wives. One wife is able to give him children, while the other cannot. One wife who's able to give him children criticizes and treats the other wife with contempt because she is unable to produce an heir. It's interesting that I read somewhere that it's interesting that every time you see a man who has two wives in the Bible, it's never a good thing. He's always got some trouble. He can't keep one happy. He can't please both of them. There's always a situation when he's got two wives. That's the reason why I don't understand any man that has to have so many women. Because it's hard to keep one happy, let alone try and keep four and five happy. Hello, somebody. I'm just keeping it honest, y'all. It's not a mistake that this man has some trouble. Because he is dealing with the fact that the wife that he really has some affectionate for, the one that he cares about, is unable to give him a son, unable to give him a child. She is what we have called barren. And because she is barren, that there are those who would say, based upon her barrenness, that she is considered to be cursed. Because she's not able to do as the Bible has commanded, as God commanded them when he told the people to be fruitful and multiply. So it's an issue that he's able to have children with one, but not have it with the other. And so therefore, Hannah is considered barren and considered cursed by other standards. And it's amazing, my brothers and sisters, how we're so quick to throw out the labels on people. How we label people so quick before God gets through with them. How we quick to call them a failure, but I'm here today to let somebody know, but sometimes it takes a few failures before your success. That we quick to label people even before they even get going. We quick to put stuff on them, quick to put handles on them, quick to call them over, quick to say it's over for them. But I'm here today to let somebody know that as long as God is giving breath in your body, as long as God is waking you up every day, you have a chance to do and do wonderful and marvelous things. Don't let what someone calls you define who you are. Then if God has still has his hands on you, that means there's still some more work for you to do. And I came to let somebody know here today too, you don't have to live by the script that people give you. That just because they call you that, you don't have to be that. That just because they treat you like that does not mean you have to end up like that. I'm talking to somebody in here that can be a testifying witness, that can be able to say that people have called you up the stuff, they wrote you off too quick, but look what the Lord has done for you. That if they treated you like you were in your 20s, now look at you, you in your 50s, and you can say, look what the Lord has done. You wanted to call me dope fiend, but now look at me. Now I'm running my own business. You wanted to call me uneducated, but now I'm a teacher and one teacher of the year consistently. You wanted to label me, but look what God had in store for me. Don't let labels define you, because your story is not over. You don't have to live like that. That's the beautiful thing about meeting Jesus, is that Jesus teaches us that we don't have to live like how we've been living. So here's Hannah. Hannah, the Bible says that she is sad and she goes to pray to God. Those of you who know the story, she prays to God and she tells God that she has a son. She'll give him back to him in his service. And so the Bible says that she goes back with Elkanah. She leaves Shiloh, where the place where they have the Ark of the Covenant is being kept. And she's prayed to God and Elkanah. And you know the story of Eli. He's not understanding what's going on. He's trying to figure out what's going on with her. And so the Bible says that she tells him the prayer. And she says that, I hope and pray that the Lord hears you, that you have made this declaration. And so she goes back with Elkanah, produces a son, and she's able to give birth and calls his name Samuel. Samuel meaning that God has heard her. God has heard her prayer. And my brothers and sisters, can I pause right there to be able to tell somebody in here that don't think that when you're praying that God does not hear you. I've come to let somebody know that God hears every prayer you make. God hears every prayer and he answers every prayer. Don't you know that just because you don't get the answer you want does not mean that's not an answer? Don't you know that silence is an answer? What you mean, Reverend? Sometimes when God is silent, that's God letting you know what his answer is. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we got to understand that God hears every single prayer that we pray. And don't you know that it's okay sometimes that when you got to just keep lifting up the same prayer? Because guess what? He hears every prayer that you make. And guess what? Here it is. You ain't got to always be put together with the right words. Words don't make the prayer. It's the heart that determines the prayer. So many people think that prayer is determined about how you can put words together and how you can say certain stuff and how you can be able to move words. And now my body is big. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, hear me. Why won't you make a way? And don't you know people always say, Reverend, you know how to get a prayer through. You want to know how I get a prayer through? Because I'm talking to God like I know I need the Lord to do it for me. And you want God to change your prayer? You want God to change your prayer life? Talk to him like you know you need him. Talk to him like you sure don't know you need to come to him. And sometimes that ain't always in the best of English, because guess what? God can understand an embodied prayer. God can understand a prayer that's made in different languages. It does not matter, but God will still hear you.
Amen.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Hear it. Bible says she gives birth, has Samuel, and she brings him back and gives him to Eli to be able to serve the Lord as God has seen fit. So here is Samuel, who is held up as this model, gives Samuel to Eli to be an apprentice and a priest. Eli is an interesting subject, because as God raises up Samuel, Eli's got his own problems. Eli's got problems at home. He's got spoiled children. Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, that God has given Hannah, and she's praised God for what she's gotten in Samuel, and here's Eli. It's amazing, too, that Samuel is God has heard, but then we find out that Samuel is of use. But in verse number 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says that Eli's sons were scoundrels. Scoundrels, translated, is the word no use. Belial. Can I just tell y'all what that means in our language? A no good Negro. Waste of space. The reason why y'all quiet is because y'all know some men like that. Y'all know some people like that. They serve no purpose. They are of no use to society. They are of no use to you. And if you be honest in your brothers and sisters, you've dated some folks who are of no use. You got some no use nephews. You got some no use nieces. You got some no use grandchildren. And you know what? There's some no use preachers I know. No use is not just incumbent upon just being kin to Eli. No. No use can mean a whole lot of different people. No use can mean, and guess what? You got some no use judges. You got some no use police officers. You got some no use politicians. As a matter of fact, we got one trying to run for president again. He is of no use. We got some no, hello somebody. And you know they have no use because they waste your time. But the bad thing is, you don't know they wasted your time till you get done dealing with them. Okay. How do you know that, Reverend? Because as soon as they leave, you're like, I could have been doing something else. Hey, I could have been counting the sheep or something. But the reason why they're of no use, it's because, here it is, they are Eli's sons, and they come from the lineage of Aaron. Now I want y'all to pay attention to this. So, because they are Eli's sons, and they come from the lineage of Aaron, and they are Levites, here it is, watch this, y'all, that they are already set to be priests. They are already priests, but they're not acting priestly. So what do you mean, Reverend? Is that Eli's sons are working in the family business, but not doing business the right way. As a matter of fact, they feel a sense of what is known as entitlement. Because of the fact is that God made a decree and told Aaron that I will not separate the priesthood from your bloodline. And because of that, there is a feeling that I can get away with anything. Isn't it amazing, my brothers and sisters, how people can have a sense of entitlement? Amen. Thinking that you can do whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and do it to whoever you want to do it to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not like we have that in the body of Christ. No. It's not like we thinking that we can do and say and act the way we want to because we got fire insurance. Hello, somebody. I hate to let y'all know this. I hate to say this. It's some folk in church who are going to hell. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you, because there's some folk who've been coming to church, not just this church. I'm talking about Big C Church. That it's folk who've been going to church all their life, and they still determined they're going to go to hell anyhow.
Yes.
What you mean, Reverend? Because they don't know how to treat folks. They don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to love people the right way. Yes. It means something that you gave God, that you told the Lord, and you confessed your hope in Christ. Yes, I'm a believer that the Lord will save, but I'm also a bigger believer in what's known as being born again. You see, being born again is a regeneration. It means that your heart has been changed, which means your whole entire being has been changed. That it's not just enough for you to tell me you saved, but are you walking like a saved person? Are you living like a saved person? How are you treating your brother and your sister? And then the bad thing is, they preachers. Preachers who use their power for the wrong thing. They don't lift up the voice of those who are going through. They're not worried about what they're doing. As a matter of fact, they take the food from the folks. Don't even let the food get good the way it's supposed to by what the Bible and what the Torah teaches. They take the meat before it gets done, before they even can give the people back the meat that they're supposed to take back home. They take and take their big three-pronged fork, stick it in, and pull the meat out and say, whatever I pull out is mine. That's because they have been entitled and they have felt like they can get away with anything. But I'm here today to let somebody know that yes, even preachers got to get called out for the wrongs that they do. That's all I did this week when I said what I said, is to be able to call out truth and to let them know that guess what? Your misogyny and your sexism is showing that you can't even appreciate the word of God because you're concerned about the gender that it comes from. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself where God will say no to you. Not only are they not treating people right, but they're not treating God right. The Bible tells them that they're supposed to take the meat, take the fat, take the fat and give the fat to the Lord. Priests are told you don't eat the fat and you don't eat the blood. Amen. Fat is the best, is the choicest. It's also dealing with fat. It's also having to deal with the entrails, right, of the animal. You don't eat none of that stuff. The blood and the fat, all of that belongs to the Lord. Why? I'm glad you asked. I had to look it up myself. And the reason why I found is that that's supposed to symbolize that God wants what's on the inside of you. God desires to work on the inside. God wants what's the best. He wants what is keeping you. That's the reason why the blood is so significant, because the blood is what gives us life. And so God says, give me the life. Give me the inside. Give me the best of the best. Give me the stuff. Give me that stuff. Why? Because it's symbolizing that I'm going to continue to work on the inside of you. And my brothers and my sisters, that's all I'm trying to help somebody in here today, is that give God what belongs to him and let him continue to work on the inside. Because guess what? That salvation is still an inside job. That God still has some stuff that he has to perfect in you. We worried about what's on the outside, but God says, let me continue to mend your broken heart, because there's some stuff that happened to you 30 years from now that you have put in your mind and put in the back of your mind that you still have not healed from. There's some pain that you've got that I still need to be able to deliver you from. There's some marriages, some brokenness that you have encountered that I still need to work I still have to mold. And I come today to let somebody know, let God continue to work on the inside. So, the no. No. Bible tells us, you read the story, sends word to Eli, tells him, I'm rejecting you and your boy. Why? Because you're weak. You don't know how to get control of the boys. Sound like some parents I know. Much rather be friends with your children than actually be their parents. Hello, somebody. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Don't know how to talk to him. The Hebrew, when he tries to go and talk to him, that the Hebrew, when you actually translate it, is very muddled and it's very sad because it shows that he doesn't really have a voice. He doesn't really have any control over his boys. He doesn't know how to handle them. And so guess what? Is that God does exactly just what my mom and them used to tell me. Is that guess what? If you don't listen to me, there's somebody else you're going to have to answer to. There's going to be some other people that you're going to have to deal with. If you don't obey me, maybe you'll obey the warden. Maybe you obey the police. Maybe you obey the judge. And if you don't obey them, they got some more for you. And it's here to let you know, my brothers and my sisters, to let my brothers and sisters know, when you're dealing with stuff, if they don't listen to you, they don't want to hear what you got to say, put them in the hands of the Lord. That's all I got to do. Go to bed, let the Lord handle it. Because guess what? He gave them to you. Now give them back. So, it says, I'm cutting y'all. But at the same time, watch this, Mr. Johnson, this blessing, and I'm almost done, I promise you. He says, y'all not listening, but I got a boy. But there's a boy who's serving the Lord. Okay, let me see if I can show you. Grown men won't do right, but I got a boy. Try it one more time. Grown folks don't want to be obedient, but I got a boy. Okay, let me show you in the scripture, right? Okay, so it says here, Eli's sons were scoundrels.
Yeah.
That's what Joe Biden said. Said that they were the worst. But then it says in verse 26 of chapter 2, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. So, we're looking at men who can't do right, but we got a boy who is doing right. You know, they always say, never send a boy to do a man's job. But you got to understand something. We said that. God never said that. Because sometimes you got to realize that if you got God on the inside, there's nothing that you cannot handle. As a matter of fact, God loves to use children for his benefit. Come here, David. All the other men were scared to face the giant. But here comes a boy, David, with a slingshot who threw the giant down. Come here, Jesus. Everybody else didn't understand and could be able to talk to the teachers and to the doctors in the temple. But Jesus sat in the middle of them and confused them and messed them up. Come here. There was nobody else that had any food there for the people to eat when they were there, 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. But the Lord said, I got a boy here that's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. Come here, 3 Hebrew boys. And everybody else want to bow down when the music is playing. But God said, I got 3 teenage boys who stood up and said, we not going to bow. Throw us in the fiery furnace. But our God is able to do it. So don't think that just because you grow that you can't be replaced. Don't think that just because you grow you got it all. Because God will use children. He'll use darkies. Is there anybody in here that knows that the Lord does not care who he uses? He just wants a willing heart. So, I'm almost done. Here it is. Bible says, Samuel's with Eli. He's already told Eli, it's a no for me. Samuel goes and he's laying down. And what's so interesting is that there are scholars who tell you that there's a history of people who is asleep in a holy place because they wanted to be, because they had a question on their heart. They had something they needed to get from the Lord, Deacon Pearson. And so they would call this an incubation. Sort of what you see with the Pentecostal church with you, what they call tearing, where they be at church all night because they're not going to move until the Lord give them an answer. And my brothers and my sisters, there's somebody in here today who came in here with something on your mind. You came in here because sleep has left you. You've come here because you're worried about something. But I've come to let you know you came to the right place. Because guess what? When the Lord met Samuel, it's called Shiloh. Shiloh means place of peace. And my brothers and my sisters, you came in here today in the right place because the Lord says, I want to give you peace in your spirit. I want to give you peace in your mind. And I want to let you know that everything is going to work out just fine. It says, come to Shiloh. He meets him. Samuel's there. Incubation. He's just there to sleep. And the Bible says the Lord comes to him three times. Three times. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us there in chapter 3 that Samuel does not know the Lord. But yet he doesn't know him. But he's still speaking to him. Ooh, this blessing. Can I help y'all out with something? Is there anybody that can be able to say that you've heard his voice and you knew his voice even before you met him? What you mean, bro? Is that the Lord's voice has a way of telling you where to go. Even before you knew it was him, he was still directing you. Oh, I want to have some witnesses in you. I want to thank God in here today that before I really got a chance to know him, because you didn't really know him at 9 years old. You knew of him, but you ain't really tried him for sure. But guess what? Is there anybody that can be able to say, I thank God that before I even met him, his voice was still guiding me. His voice was still leading me. His voice was still comforting me. Am I the only one in here that's grateful on today that before I even really had a real encounter with him, his voice was still my guiding light. His voice was still my comforter. His voice was still shelter. His voice was still peace. Is there anybody that's ever been through something and the Lord's voice just spoke to you and it comforted you and gave you what you need? Y'all ready to go? Me too. All right. Y'all ready? You ready? I'm almost ready. Let's go. So, Seth, he speaks to him three times. Lord says, I know you don't know who I am, but I'm still going to keep calling. Oh, somebody ought to be glad that the Lord still keeps calling. Oh, that the Lord still keeps speaking. Even when you hit and ignore, he still keeps speaking. Oh, somebody ought to be glad that the Lord has saved you from a many of things because he kept speaking. Oh, I ought to have some more witnesses in the building who ought to be grateful that he's still talking to you. So, Samuel doesn't know what's going on. Eli is probably annoyed by now. And what's so interesting is that Eli's vision is leaving him. So he can't physically see. But he still got enough sense to know that this ain't just any voice.
All right.
It's the Lord's voice. Yeah. Yeah. And my brothers and my sisters, I came to let somebody know that somebody came in here like Eli today, where you really can't see your way, but you recognize his voice. And I want you in here to be able to turn your ear to him and say, Lord, I hear you. And Lord, speak to me and tell me. Now watch what happens. This really blessed me. I'm done. I can go home. We can go home. I'm done. When Samuel goes back to lay down, mind you, the three times that he's laid down, he's just heard the voice. But the Bible says in chapter 3, when he goes to lay down the third time, the fourth time, the Bible says the Lord stood.
Come on, man.
In the middle. Okay. First times you heard me. You don't know who I am. You hear me, and I know you hear me. But now, I'm going to not just let you hear me, but I want you to see me. That means, guess what, Samuel? You don't know me, you didn't know me then, but now you're going to know who I am. And is there anybody in here that can just thank God that the Lord has a way, or after a while, he keeps calling, but eventually he'll show up. Oh, what you mean, Reverend, is that I hadn't seen a physical embodiment. No, you may not have seen him in the natural eye, but you've seen him in the spiritual eye. What you mean, Reverend, is that when you get tears that come down your face and you don't know where they come from, when you get the feeling on the inside and it starts to feel funny, starts to feel kind of warm on the inside, when you start to feel a presence that's heavy and deep that's comforting you, and you just feel it wrapped all around you, when you feel like and you riding in your car, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just preaching to myself, that you've been riding in your car and you the only one in your car, but you just driving and keep on driving, but you feel that somebody that came through the car and they sitting right there and they're just sitting there watching you and giving you what you need. Am I the only somebody that's ever been driving and the clouds were hanging real low and there was no sun out, but all of a sudden you keep on driving and next thing you know it, a little sun starts shining through the clouds. Am I talking to myself in here? Where it wasn't just you by yourself, but the Lord. Showed up. He told them no. I don't have my voice. I ain't gonna try. Tommy is close. He said, Lord, speak.
Yes.
I'm saying yes.
Yes.
And my brothers and my sisters, that's all you got to tell him.
Yes.
Is that when he speaks, just tell him yes.
Yes.
Yes. The boys had got turned off. The Lord told them no. But now, the Lord says, I want to do something new. If he wants to do something new, just say yes to him. And I'm a living witness that if you say yes to him, he'll keep on saying yes to
Amen.
You. Don't just stop saying yes one time. But keep telling the Lord yes over and over again. And I'm a living witness that if you keep telling him yes, he'll open up doors for you. That if you keep telling him yes, he'll bless you in many different ways. That if you tell him yes, he'll say yes to even your wildest dreams. He'll say yes to even your most seemingly ludicrous blessings and prayers that you bring. The Lord has a way of saying yes to you if you just keep telling him yes on today. So what I want you to do is I finish this message. Is that realize that you owe God a yes. Because he said yes to you this morning. You owe God a yes. Because 2,000 years ago, he said yes to you. He could have said, no, I'm not going to die. Because they ain't worth it. But 2,000 years ago, he said yes to you. He died for you. Because he died and got up early on the third day morning. Now you got a forever yes.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.